Welcome back. I end the show with a hopeful guest, because John Curran is the Vice President and General Manager of the Big Bus Tours. John, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Rick. Good to hear your voice.
You too, man. You too. I wish I could see you in person, but that's beside the point in this day and age. You guys started up, what day, Thursday?
We started Friday, yeah. So we've got our third day under our belt. Actually, the night tour leaves in just about 45 minutes or so. But 3 days, nice opening weekend.
No kidding.
By the number of tourists down there, and just Chicagoans.
You were surprised by the number of tourists, were you?
Yeah, you know, when we shut the doors.
Which was when?
March 16th of 2020.
Yep.
That was our last operating day. And at the time, you know, the museums were saying, oh, you know, we're going to be closed till the end of March. And
yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
And, you know, I happen to be affiliated with a global company. So we operate in Asia. We operate in Europe. We had kind of seen that. So we thought, okay, this is going to be 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to make our plans that way, and I don't think any of us could predict what it turned into, but extremely painful for the tourism industry. I know you've talked a little bit with Aaron and Tony about
the
nightclubs and restaurants, but tourism in general, the hotel industry.
Well, the ripple effect,
restaurants,
stores on Michigan Avenue on a miserable kind of weather day is a ghost town. I mean, it's a ghost town. It used to be you could barely get down the sidewalk. You know what I mean?
Well, so true. It used to take me about a minute and a half to walk across the Michigan Avenue Bridge.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know that feeling.
Was there any sense, John, during the year as things got bleaker that maybe there might not ever be a reopening?
Well, two things had to happen for our purposes. One, the first thing was figure out how to survive.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, unfortunately had to lay everybody off.
Sure.
As most people did. We canceled just about everything I could cancel. I had no phone service. I had no garbage collection. I used to eat my lunch and put it in the car, take it home, throw it out in the can behind the garage. It was just silly. It was a very interesting time. But the second thing we learned was, there was an opportunity there to do some things now that you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
And one of those things was we didn't have any sales. We had been planning to change our point of sale system globally. That probably would have taken us a couple of years to do.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in about 6 weeks.
Wow, that's great.
Because we could just dive in and do it. So our investors were kind to us, and we weathered the storm, fortunately, and made a few key investments along the way. And the new tours that I'd like to tell you about, that certainly is one of those things.
Well, I think you had time. I mean, given us time to reassess the kind of tours you were giving.
Yes.
To come up with something that you come up with something new. It wasn't all going to be, hey, you know, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre and, you know, the Michigan Avenue Bridge and Tribune Tower. Who did that? Was it a group of you who sat together and said, let's reimagine? Go ahead.
We had started this in London, kind of reconcepting how we would deliver the tours.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a version there. And then we did a version in New York, and I raised my hand and said, we have an opportunity here in Chicago. I'd like to be the third city to do this. And they agreed. And so we took all of the script work that we had been doing over the last 5 years, countless stories, and we would train tour guides to really kind of give their own tours based on this. But, you know, there's some flaws in that. Wasn't always factual.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't always the best story for the moment,
right? Right,
and so we saw an opportunity to create a recorded commentary tour that was more akin to a morning radio show, if there is any kind of an example. Similarly,
interesting.
It's not a narration; it's a storytelling exercise about Chicago,
and it features heavily, I guess, in Chicago. It features music.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it does.
Talk to me about that.
Well, our history is just amazing.
Yeah.
Where do you start? You'll hear the standards of Frank Sinatra on the tour, but you'll hear Muddy Waters. You'll hear the Smashing Pumpkins. You'll hear the Staple Singers. You'll hear Rufus and Chaka Khan. I mean, it's a really broad range, and some of them are baked into the stories we tell.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example, well, John, of one of the stories.
So here's a good one. So everybody knows the song Sweet Home Chicago.
Of course.
So as the bus is rolling down the street, and in this case it hits right just after we see Buckingham Fountain on the night tour, and we start to play the Blues Brothers version of Sweet Home mm-hmm. Chicago, which most people recognize.
Sure.
But then we dial back and we talk about Robert Leroy Johnson,
yeah,
a 25-year-old who did the original version of Sweet Home Chicago, and we play that version that was recorded in 1936. And Robert Johnson's version you mentioned Dylan earlier. Dylan cited that as one of his influences, and Clapton as well, and Robert Plant and people like that. I mean, we try to make the connection on the tour between the things that were happening with the blues in Chicago and mm-hmm. how it transcended into rock and roll.
Fantastic.
Even from as simply as there's a couple musical moments that I cherish on the tour. One is when we're leaving from the Chicago Theater stop, starting southbound on State Street. There's a 9-story mural of Muddy Waters.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Isn't
it's
beautiful.
It? Oh, it's gorgeous.
And instead of talking about it right away, you hear about 20 seconds of Manish Boy.
Oh, that's great.
It has this really cool, you know, riff that it just gets you going.
Was this a production nightmare for you guys? I mean, it must have been.
No, it was a joyous exercise. I'll tell you what was funny about it, though. You know, we had all this content, and we were working with a couple of top-flight creative directors and producers that kind of took our stories and turned them into this dialogue between three characters, which is why it plays kind of like a radio show. I don't know if that's
interesting.
The perfect analogy.
How interesting.
But the way to get there was funny, because here I am in the middle of winter. Nobody can see each other. You know, everybody's doing Zoom and Teams and all these other ways to communicate, but we're not together. So I got my wife into the car a couple of times with my phone, and we just started a Zoom meeting, and I drove the version of the tours that I wanted to do.
That you thought would jibe with the music.
Yeah, and basically gave the tour. You know, basically, you know, it talked about, okay, here we might be talking about this on the left. And you know, at the end of the day, it was really an interesting process. They turned it into some wonderful material. And I've got over just about 200 segments of content about all different kinds of things, Chicago. And there's so much more. You know the city, Rick. It's
sure.
a world-class city. There's a story on every corner.
So each one of these, I know that I'm looking at the Panoramic Evening Tours last 75 minutes. Do the daily hop-on, hop-off tour the same length?
No, that's a two-hour loop. If you were to get on the bus at stop one and ride around the city,
you'd finish
that in about 2 hours. But people buy us as a one-day or two-day ticket during the day, and they use us to get off at the museum. They go to the Sky Deck. They hop off at Navy Pier and get something to eat, maybe get on one of the boats and, you know, come back. They can come back a second day and get on the bus. So they use us as transportation as well.
So roughly in 45 minutes. Well, let's stop. Let's take a break and come back and get more specific here. I'm talking with John Curran, who is the vice president and general manager of Big Bus. You can learn all about Big Bus Tours at, guess what, bigbustours.com. We'll be back in a couple minutes. John Curran runs Big Bus Tours, and so he's in a perfect position to answer this question for me. John, I know you may be, as everybody is, terribly optimistic about the return of the tourist trade to Chicago, which is desperately in need of it. Don't you think, however, that because people have been so locked away from the city, that Big Bus Bite might also benefit from Chicagoans?
Who we're seeing.
Is it really?
That's all weekend. It was Chicagoans coming down to experience their city and enjoy. And the parking garages were full. I can tell you that one firsthand. And that's how we know, partly how we know that. We're not getting any international travel, obviously. That's not going to happen for a while. It's all regional travel. But people were dying to get out of the house and go see the things that they enjoy and are comfortable
and the things they had missed. Where were these? How many buses are there?
Well, we've got 13 buses in Chicago.
Where were they during the pandemic?
Oh, we've got a barn down in Canaryville.
Barn. That's great.
Just a bus barn, a depot. It's actually an old slaughterhouse because it's over by the stockyards. So we keep the fleet indoors down there and drive it into the city.
When people get on and listen to the tours, how do they listen to them?
Well, we've got speakers in the bus on each side, and we're playing them.
So they don't need headphones. They don't need headphones or something.
They don't need headphones yet. We are going to launch a Spanish language tour in the late summer, early fall.
Good idea.
And at that point, then we'll have English and Spanish as options, and you'll have some headphones so that you can hear one or the other.
Good idea. So only in about a half hour, the panoramic evening tour is going to start. It lasts 75 minutes and begins and ends at Navy Pier. It starts at 7:30 and runs through October 31st. Tell me about that tour. I'm fascinated, intrigued by that.
Yeah, the daytime tour is sort of our G-rated tour, and nighttime tour is part of really a PG rated tour. It's a little bit more adult skewed. It's some of the history that you and I have come to appreciate maybe over the years.
Right, some of the history I've lived. Yeah.
Yeah. We take a turn. We go up in the Gold Coast and turn off of Division onto State and come down through the Rush Street area and talk about Rush Street at length, and kind of mention the present day Hugos and Gibsons and things like that. But we talk about Mothers, a singles joint that's been around there for 50 years, and even the candy store gets a dubious mention.
You mention the candy store? That's only old timers would go, yeah, I remember that place.
I remember the candy store.
I remember it too. What a strange place that was. Do you mention the old Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, we definitely have a piece. It's one of our alternate tracks right now. As I said, we've got about 200 segments, so we're going to come away with a bunch of different versions of the tour. But there's a piece on the Playboy Mansion that I'm dying to play because it really kind of captures what Huff was doing up there. Then we talk about Mr. Kelly's, which is
Gibson's
project.
Yeah.
And we take you back. We talked about music. At one point, Pat, the character, says, Molly, if you could go back and see any performer at Mr. Kelly's, who would you see? And she says, oh, I just would love to see Ella Fitzgerald. And he says, well, by the magic of the Big Bus Time Machine, here's Ella Fitzgerald. And we have, from Mr. Kelly's 1958, Ella sings.
The live album. That's great.
Yeah, the live album. Nice Work If You Can Get It. And you listen to that song as you bounce down State Street back in toward the city.
Boy, this sounds very, very, very creative, John.
We're having a lot of fun, Rick.
I bet you are. I bet you are. How many buses are running? It says three colorful tour guides and popular music highlight an all-new sightseeing experience. Who are the three colorful tour guides? By that, what do you mean?
We created three characters.
Gotcha.
So Pat is sort of the older, authoritative kind of lead tour guide, north side guy. Molly is this quirky, fun, I was thinking Mother Macaulay girl, from the South Side. I was thinking Melissa McCarthy when we you know were concepting this character, and then we've got this young kid Trey, and Trey's the brains of the operation. And at multiple points during the thing, they say, "Trey, what do you know?" And Trey jumps in with the who, what, when, where, how, and why. Why was that building built? Who built it? Blah blah blah.
So and all of these three colorful tour guides are part of each. Each tour tape, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting idea. Very interesting idea.
It gets away from that narrative look left over here.
Oh, God.
Look right over here.
That
is
so,
this architect.
You're right.
State,
that is so.
It isn't that.
That stuff's time is come and gone. Come and gone. Now, the shorter tours, do they run all year, John, or is you're able to do it weather-wise?
We run the hop-on-hop-off all year. We have these plexiglass canopies we put on tops of the buses in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps a little bit of climate control up there. I mean, if it's minus 10 in January, it's still minus 10 in January.
Yeah.
But we try to run every day. The night tour only runs until Halloween. It just gets a little too cold.
Sure. It must be, well, I guess the streets have been pretty crowded. I mean, in non-pandemic times, these streets can get pretty crowded, but who cares, right? You're on a bus, comfortable.
You know, Saturday was the first time we really saw the streets the way
sort of back to normal.
The streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prior to that, when we were doing our rehearsals and timings, it was very funny to get down some of the streets we're used to.
Slow the voices down. Slow the voices down. Put it on. Play it like a 78. What's been the response? I mean, you've heard from obviously people you know, but from regular folks getting off the.
Yeah, the first time people heard it was Friday, and I've been riding the buses. I was in uniform Friday and Saturday, but today I was dressed like a conventioneer. Yeah. I was my middle-aged self on the bus, and it gave me the opportunity to talk to the folks, and they were really enjoying it. They really found it very easy to listen to. They enjoyed the storytelling rather than the punchy turn left, turn right kind of thing. So feedback's been good.
Do you think this, obviously, the tours you have now will last for a year, but it seems like you have enough material to update them at your will.
Yeah, I think we're going to come away with a few different versions. One of the things, why this is important to me, one of the many reasons why, is there's storytelling is our method of sharing the history of the
city. Of course.
And if I can get these student groups on and make an impression with them on the city and the history, that happened to me when I was a sophomore in high school. Signed up for a class called the Main South out in Park Ridge, and I signed up for a class called Literature of Chicago.
Who taught that class? Do you remember?
A guy named Thomas Kurth, and if he's listening, this is exactly the kind of show he would be listening to. I haven't spoken to him in 40 years, but I want to thank him. He turned me on to some really interesting thoughts. So required reading was Division Street America.
Mm.
So we covered that book, Studs' book. And then we came on a field trip downtown, and just some of the things that he showed us were not normal for a 16-year-old to be learning at that time.
Right, right, right.
Looking at the dates on the tops of the buildings, I think we were on North Avenue coming in or somewhere on the north side, and it didn't register what that was until that point. We stood behind the Picasso statue a little bit to the left or the right, and you can see very clearly there's a silhouette of a woman. Whereas when you stand in front of it, I've told that story countless times. In fact, it's in the script. It's in the tour now. It just was one of those moments, and I think we'd like to share that with the kids today.
You seem to have this passion for making history come alive, which is actually the only way it can get under your skin. And it's not enough to see a little tweet about something. And the other thing about The reason I like these tours, your tours and others, there are others I like, is that it shows you the physical environment. It's not just a picture. It's you are at the place. And even though taking someone to where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre took place is kind of boring for people, you know, hey, this old age home is where they shot all these people. it nevertheless, that too has an impact, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we tell the Great Chicago Fire story.
Yeah.
That's our longest story. It's 4 minutes and 50 seconds. Mm. And it takes us a while to, you know, the bus is moving the whole time.
Yeah, right.
We don't spend a lot of time on these stories, but, you know, that's an important one to tell and get right. And, you know, that's not a humorous one. We play that one straight, but it's got a nice underscore of music and some sound effects of, you know, the horses whinnying and the flames and things. So, you know, we kind of try to paint the picture of what, where the history's been in the city.
That's fabulous. You glad to be back in town?
I'm thrilled. You know, I'm a Chicago guy at heart.
I know.
I've left the city a couple times for warmer weather and come back very quickly both times. This is where I need to be and just enjoying it.
Good. John Curran, good guy, is the Vice President and General Manager of Big Bus Tours, which began its new season on Friday, successfully, too. Well, of course, this weather didn't hurt.
You can
learn more and get all you need to know at bigbustours.com. I'll be in touch, John. I want to take these tours and see what I can make of them, okay?
We'll do it, Rick.
All right, John.
Glad
take care.
Glad to hear. Bye.